Thank you, thank you. Before you take your seats, let me just say in advance, Happy New Year. Same to you, Paul, thank you. Happy New Year to you guys on the tiered seats. I don't know what 2023 has been like for you. I know there'll be people here, and it may have been your annus horribilis, what the Queen called one particular year, or it might have been the best year yet. But what I do know is whatever season of life you and I go through, God is faithful, and He is with us. He doesn't promise that we'll never face challenge or trouble or hardship or difficulty, but He does promise, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So come on, while we take our seats, why don't we praise Him? Praise Him right now, and you can take your seats. Good, I bought some aftershave, which is better than what I bought on Christmas Day, if you were here. So if you remember that. For the last 4 months, I've been taking some time, really, to pray about 2024, to pray about my life and the future and our church and where God wants to take us. And I'm always enthusiastic. Thank you, whoever put that praise report in, for pastors who are passionate. Thank you for that. Thank you for noticing that. I think we are passionate about the kingdom of God and about the church. And so it's nice that people notice. Somebody said you've lost some weight this morning, Paul. Thank you very much. I've actually put a bit of Christmas turkey on, actually, but there you go. Went to a football match once, and there's a guy in front of us taking a throw-in, and I think it was our Sam shouted to him, I can see your Christmas turkey. So I've been praying for 4 months. I need to get into this message, don't I? I've been praying for about 4 months thinking. I actually took a six-day retreat just to specifically spend time just seeking God. And I felt certainly the theme that I want to bring in, connect a lot of my messages with. And I think the theme, I guess, for us, maybe for our conference this year, will be this: revive us again. Revive us again. In a couple of weeks' time, when I pick this up again, I want to talk about what we mean by that, revive us again, and just lay that out. But this morning, as we end 2023 and we go into 2024, I want to talk about the power of atmosphere. The power of atmosphere. I want to read 11 verses to start with from the Gospel of John. And I want to welcome our Stocksbridge campus who are with us, and loads of people who are joining us online during our service. So we just want to welcome you. And if you're new, either in any of our rooms or you're new online, we want to say welcome home. We're so glad that you're here today. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Mary served while Lazarus was amongst those reclining at the table with him. Remember, Lazarus is at this meal, who was dead, but is now alive, and everybody knows it. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who would later betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he himself was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Two for Jesus, one for me. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she would do this. Save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus. They didn't just come for Jesus. They wanted to see Lazarus. How's he doing? He was dead. He's now alive. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. Not only are they planning to kill Jesus, now they're planning to kill Lazarus. Because on account of him, many Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Revive us again. What a great theme, I think, for 2023. 24. And I wonder whether if someone was to chronicle in a diary our response to God's word in 2024, I wonder whether in years to come they might say, that was the start of the Icon revival. Oh, that was the start of the Midlands revival, the Stocksbridge revival, the Sheffield revival, the Chesterfield revival, the Mansfield revival. That was the start. Who knows? I want you to get the picture of what's happening at this dinner. Jesus is there and people have gathered, but lots of people have come because of Lazarus. I mean, I'd want to be there, wouldn't you? You know, this person's going to be at this meal. Would you like to come? And this is the person who was dead but is now alive. And during this meal, during this time, a woman gets a pint of expensive perfume and she pours it over the feet of Jesus. I'll just walk into it. There you go. Apparently you meant to do that. The power of atmosphere, the fragrance filled the whole room in that place. Here's the first thing I want to say about atmosphere. Atmosphere is contagious. Do you know there were many atmospheres at that dinner? Many at that room, there were many different atmospheres. You know, one of my favorite songs is a song by Crowded House. I know you've all heard of them. But you may have heard the song, Everywhere You Go, finish it with me, always take the weather with you. And that song realizes that wherever you and I go, there's lots of different atmospheres, and atmospheres are contagious. You can walk into a negative atmosphere and it can overcome you and you'll be negative. Isn't that true? You can walk into a fun, light, joyful atmosphere and that joy can overtake you. Can I tell you this morning, I'm thankful for people who pray for our church, because I believe that that prayer changes the atmosphere in this place. I'm thankful for those that come in faith and expectation and a heart to lean in and to worship, because that changes the atmosphere in this room. There's many atmospheres in this room. There's many atmospheres in our life. And if you came to worship today and you did that, I am thankful for you, because God comes where he's welcome. There were many atmospheres in that room. There was Judas, who said that this perfume could have been sold and given to the poor, but he didn't say that because he liked the poor or loved the poor. He said it because he was a thief. He was thinking how much he'd missed out on. There were religious people in that room who were trying to catch Jesus, catch him out and see what he was getting wrong. That's what religious people do, you know. They always look for what's going wrong. They're always trying to catch you out, the church out, something out. That's religion. And even if it's not called religion, beware, religion always looks to catch out. There were people in that room who wanted to kill Lazarus. Now, I want to say, I'm not sure that killers have a joyful atmosphere. I'm not sure when you encounter those people, they're joyful. But I want to say that they were wanting to kill Lazarus because many were starting to follow Jesus. And then there was this woman. And this one woman with her pint of pure nard, perfume, expensive perfume, changed the atmosphere. See, there were many atmospheres, but one was dominant, and that was this fragrance. And I want to say that in any atmosphere, worship can become dominant, and it can change the atmosphere. Have you ever been around someone with a strong fragrance? Don't nudge anybody right now. You smell them before you see them. Oh, so-and-so's here. You smell them before you hear them. Atmosphere is so important. I love bonfire night. Anybody else love bonfire night? Those big fires, I love it. But you know the thing I don't like is when you take the clothes off in the bedroom and you smell the smoke. And you think, I've only wore that once and now I can't wear it again until it's washed, you know. It's that atmosphere of that smoke still on you. But you know, it's not just like smoke atmosphere or perfume atmosphere. It can be friends that are critical, can't it? negative. I want people in our church, when you walk into work, when you walk into your family, or when you walk into situations, people say, you must have been to church this weekend because you're unusually happy. You're unusually hopeful. There's something about you. Atmosphere is contagious. The second thing is, atmosphere is consequential. That's a big word, I know, but let's shorten it slightly. Atmosphere has consequences. It matters. There's a consequence. You know, God spent 4 days creating an atmosphere that we could live in. Any of you that understand science and creation and the world and the universe, you know that God took these 4 days, but he created an atmosphere for us to flourish. And there are hundreds of dials, if you like. There are hundreds of markers that if they were just off by 1 degree, if the earth, I think it's 13 degrees, is it, on its axis? If it was 1 degree, either way, we would fry or burn. Just 1 degree. But there are hundreds of these markers. And God created an atmosphere for you and I to live and to flourish. I love, you know, we used to have a slogan as a church. We should bring it back. Love God, love people, love life. Because we should love the creation and the stuff that God has put around us. Our church has an atmosphere. Yeah. And I hope it's an atmosphere where people can flourish. Where in any season of life, you can find strength and courage and hope and faith and joy and love and peace. You can flourish. Our church has an atmosphere. It carried in our values. Our church is creative. We always find a way. We're generous. We give and we give again. We talk about generosity every week because that's the atmosphere that we want to live in. We're positive. We believe the best and we speak the best over people's lives. We're not criticism. We're not religious, trying to look for what's wrong in people, trying to look for how people don't measure up or how they miss the mark. We're trying to look for the grace of God that's on every person, whoever they are. We're positive. We're empowering. We're passionate. Somebody noticed it, Jeannie. We're passionate. We're united. There are fragile seasons in life, aren't there? Apparently, one of the most fragile seasons in life are if you're a teenager. That's a fragile season right now. Or you're single. That can be a fragile season of life. By the way, if you're a teenager and single, that's just normal. That's okay. There are fragile seasons in life. Seasons when we're not able to create the atmosphere that we want. There are seasons, fragile moments in life where the atmosphere is dominated by others. Maybe you've got that at work or you've got that in some area in your life. There are fragile seasons in life when the atmosphere is controlled because of something that's happened. Maybe we're grieving or something. But I believe in those moments we need to put ourselves in the right atmosphere because atmospheres are consequential. And the reason this matters, and the reason it matters to me, is because you matter. You matter, and you matter to God. Many people just live in atmospheres, not knowing they can do something about them. But atmospheres are consequential. As I said, there's hundreds of factors in creation that if they were just off by the tiniest margin, would mean that we couldn't flourish as human beings. But they're not just off, because God loves us and God's for us. And he created an atmosphere that we could live and flourish. And so the atmosphere of your life, the atmosphere of your home, of your relationship matters, because atmosphere is consequential. The next thing is, atmospheres are tangible. You can smell an atmosphere before you even know what's going on. Anybody agree? Have you ever walked into a room and people suddenly go quiet? They don't want you to know they've been arguing, but you know. You know, you can take, you've heard it, haven't you? You can cut the atmosphere with a knife because atmospheres are tangible. You can't really cut the atmosphere with a knife, but you, it feels like you can because atmospheres are tangible. You feel them. You feel an atmosphere. You walk in. I love it, you know, when we begin to worship God, because there's joy in this room. And that atmosphere is tangible. There's faith in this room. I was just thinking, just in the first song, as I could hear the church rising and people leaning in and worshiping God, I'm thinking there's faith in this room. There can also be fear in rooms as well. I don't know about you, but I can sense the temperature of a room, not just the air temperature, but the faith temperature. Sometimes I'm in meetings, I'm in services, and I'm thinking we need to turn the thermostat up. You know, we need to turn the thermostat up because faith needs to rise. If you went into a dressing room of a football match, Arsenal play Fulham today. Pausing for a moment of prayer. Arsenal play Fulham today. If you didn't know the score, but you went into the Fulham dressing room, you would know who won and who lost. How would you know? Because of the atmosphere. If you went into the Arsenal dressing room, well, you know they'd won. In Jesus' name. Because atmospheres are tangible. So we need to ask, what atmosphere do I carry? What atmosphere do I contribute? Do I bring joy into the room? Do I lean into that? Do I bring faith into the room? I remember as a teenager being fascinated with Yoshido Full Gospel Church, which was the largest church in the world. I think it still is. And at that time, it had about 750,000 members. Imagine that. 750,000 members, and Yonggi Cho was the pastor. And I remember sneaking into a meeting I wasn't meant to be in when I was 16 years of age, and he was speaking, and people were asking him about the success of the church, and they were asking him about the services, and they were asking him about the connect groups, the small groups, cell groups they called them at the time, and they had something like 32,000 connect groups. We've got about 32. So we got a way to go, 32,000. And he said this in that room, and I'll never forget it. He said, don't ask me about the services. Don't ask me about the cell groups. Ask me about prayer. Because prayer changes the atmosphere, and that creates the atmosphere in this place. A colleague of mine recently went to visit that church, and he was there for a week, and they went to the Sunday services. I think they had 12 services on the Sunday. He didn't go to all of them, slacker. But he went to the services, and then they said, would you like to go to a prayer meeting, one of our prayer meetings? And he said, yes. And they said, it's at 4:30 in the morning. So he said, I've said yes. And they have four prayer meetings at 4:30 in the morning in the week. And he said, I got there, they drove me, and there's a queue. 6,000 people waiting to get into the prayer meeting at 4:30 in the morning. And he said, as they prayed, it was like the rushing of a waterfall. As the person at the front said, let's pray for our nation. And they rang a bell, ding, and everybody began to pray. It was like the rushing of a waterfall. That changes the atmosphere. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says this: when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. And they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Atmosphere is tangible. The next is this: atmosphere is personal. You have an atmosphere. I have an atmosphere. The New Testament tells us that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that we should carry the fragrance of Christ. That actually wherever we go, people should somehow be able to smell Jesus on us. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ amongst those who are saved and those who are perishing. And people tell you your atmosphere. Sometimes you can't smell your own fragrance. Isn't that true? Yeah. But occasionally people will ask you, what's different about you? There's something different about you. You're going through this season in a different world. You see, you can't smell your own fragrance. This is all for your benefit. Free hugs after the service. The smell's going. It's not the most expensive perfume, but it's decent. But I can't smell it. But every one of you will smell it in the foyer. See, I'm just here to bless you. In Jesus' name. I want to encourage you and I. Let's go deep in 2024. Let's go deep in 2024. Because when we go deep, we get a new atmosphere. Go deep into something. Realize that you can make a difference. Your personal atmosphere matters. Your attitude matters. Your contribution matters. Atmosphere is personal. And then atmosphere is changeable. It's consequential, it's tangible, it's personal. And all that adds up to the fact that atmosphere is changeable. And God in 2024, I don't believe, wants us to be commentators about atmosphere. He doesn't want us just to commentate on what the atmosphere is, or you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. He wants us to be creators of atmospheres. In every sphere where you and I live, he doesn't want you and I to be thermometers. We've got enough thermometers. They're on Twitter. They're on TikTok. They're on Instagram. They're on YouTube. They're enough thermometers. They're not telling us anything other than this is what stuff's like. This is what Joe Biden's like. This is what Rishi Sunak's like. This is what that person's like. You're just being a thermometer where God has called you to be a thermostat, to change the atmosphere, to transform it. And it takes faith to contribute. It doesn't take any faith to say, this is what that person's like, or this is what that situation's like, or this is what this is like. You all know I'm an Arsenal fan, and AFTV, you shouldn't watch it, is the most popular fan television station on YouTube, apparently. So they tell me. But then Liverpool fans might think it's LFC TV or whatever. But anyway, so they tell me. It's AFTV. But when I watch it, they're just thermometers. But the manager and the players and the guys buying and the directors, they're thermostats. They know what's not going as well, and so they're just trying to turn that thermostat and shift it. Well, how about you and I in 2024? Stop being thermometers and start being thermostats. What an incredible New Year's revolution. Let me explain it this way to you. Some friends recently came to see Jeannie and I. They asked if they could see us urgently. I wanted to say we're on holiday. It's Christmas, anyway, but they told us a horrible story. They came, sat in our lounge, and they told us a horrible story that they were was happening to them, that they were under the weight of what had happened, and will carry on for months. They know that. And they said things like this: we're terrified. We're not sleeping. We've never felt so afraid. We've never felt so intimidated. And you sit when people tell you these things and you think, how on earth can I help? What do I have to help? And then I remembered, I've got the Word of God. I've got the Word of God. And so I said to them, I looked them in the eye and I said, I want to tell you, greater is the one in you than the one that's in the world and the one that's against you. I was quoting from 1 John 4 and verse 4 to them. It says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I then quoted Isaiah 59, verse 19, the second part of that verse, and it says this: when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. I remembered that I didn't have anything to say. There was nothing that I could say other than, I'm so sorry you're going through this. But that wasn't going to help them. But when I began to share God's word and God's promises in their lives, I could see that intimidation, that fear being coming off of their lives in that moment. Sometimes I've come to church, I've told you this many times, in a funk, downhearted. Sometimes I've been afraid, and I know you've come afraid, maybe uncertain. But as we've begun to worship, the atmosphere has changed me, because suddenly there's an atmosphere of heaven in this place. Let me tell you, I don't want to go to a church where the atmosphere in here is the same as the atmosphere out there. Because the atmosphere out there is influenced by the enemy. Jesus calls him the thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's out there. But the atmosphere in here is influenced by the one who said, I have come to give you life and to give you life to the full. Amen. Come on, yeah, praise him. So I want the atmosphere always in here to be influenced by Jesus. The atmosphere is changeable. And the best way I know to change the atmosphere is by worship and the Word of God. So my last point is this, my application. Let's take responsibility for the atmosphere. Take responsibility in your own life, in your home. Take responsibility as a church for the atmosphere. That's the application. Come with faith, come with prayer for what God can do. And there's times that you can't, but others can. There's times when you're going through something, you don't have the emotional strength. That's fine. We all have that, but others can. Just make sure you're in the atmosphere. I remember one time where the atmosphere in my workplace, it wasn't great, and I wasn't enjoying my job, and I would end every day miserable, and I would drive home, and I would go home, and I'd be miserable at home, when Zion was born, and they decided what they were going to call Jeannie and myself. Grammy and Gramps is what we are. Debbie said Grammy and Grumps. I don't know why she said that, but I remember I was going through that season and I was just coming home miserable all the time. Unhappy, didn't like my job, I hated my job, didn't like the situation. Stuff in life I did like, but this atmosphere was getting all over me. And I remember I'm driving home one evening and I get to the cemetery at Staveley. What a great place for God to speak to you. At a cemetery. I get to the cemetery and I'm just about to turn right onto Cemetery Lane, and a scripture comes into my mind. It's a scripture you wouldn't really bring to mind for anything. It says this: David went home to bless his family. And I knew in that moment that God was saying to me, take responsibility. Take responsibility. Don't go home miserable. Don't go home carrying this heavy weight and take it to your family. Go home to bless your family. And so I did. And I didn't tell Jeannie, but I went home and determined I was going to take responsibility for my atmosphere, the way I was with the kids, the way I was with Jeannie. And I'm glad to say that Jeannie noticed after a few days. You know, Jesus always took responsibility for the atmosphere. Always took responsibility. I'm going to read you one story from Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to walk you through the atmosphere and the atmosphere shifting in this story as Jesus takes responsibility. So, are you ready? Here we go. It's Luke 8, starting at verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were expecting him. And then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, the girl of about 12, was dying. What's the atmosphere? Desperate. Jairus is desperate, as you would be, as I would be. Our 12-year-old child is dying. So Jesus decides to go, and it says, as Jesus is on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She was desperate too, but she came up behind him and touched the hedge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. Loads of people are touching you." But Jesus said, "No, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, you came desperate, but now your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And Jairus is watching this. Jairus was desperate, is now hopeful. If God can do that, if Jesus can do that, what can he do for my daughter? While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter has died," they said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother him." Jairus maybe now has gone from hopeful, beyond desperate, to hopeless. Hearing this, though, Jesus turned and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Just believe. She will be healed." He took control of the atmosphere and he said, "Have faith and expectation." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, Jesus did not let anyone go with him except Peter, John, and James, and the father and mother of the child. Why was that? Atmosphere. Atmosphere. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Of course, this was a culture where people used to do that because they know the importance of grieving. They know the importance. And so they would have professional wailers. But in this occasion, Jesus says, "Stop wailing. She's not dead. She's just asleep." They laughed at him. Now the atmosphere is turning to ridicule, knowing that she was dead. And Mark tells us that Jesus puts them all out. I put myself into that story and think, Jesus comes to heal. I don't want to be the guy that Jesus has to say, "Get out. Leave the room." I want to be with Peter, James, and John, don't you? With the mother and father who see the miracle that Jesus does. So Jesus takes her by the hand and he says, "My child, come on, get up." Her spirit returned at once. She stood up. And then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Jesus always took responsibility for the atmosphere. And my encouragement to us, as we step into a new year, tomorrow we'll be in a new year, 2024, wherever we can, let's take responsibility for the atmosphere. Let's put ourselves in atmospheres of faith, in worship. Let's make sure that we prioritize being in the place of worship and the Word of God, so that when we need it, we have got something to say to the atmosphere. So that when intimidation and fear tries to grab us, we can say, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So as I close, I'm encouraging us, Icon Church, to pray, revive us again. I'm encouraging us, let us take a deep dive in 2024 into the Word of God. In 2024, how about knowing more Word than your favorite podcast? Or your favorite YouTuber? Take a deep dive into God's Word. Or your favorite movie, Ben Lloyd. How about knowing more of God's Word?" I'm joking, Ben's in the Word. Take a deep dive. Change rhythms and patterns around prayer. Because these are foundations that will help you contribute well and establish a good atmosphere across your life. Make worship a priority. You'll notice. Other people will notice. It's time to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Come on, let's stand to our feet and let's pray, and then we're going to worship as I close. I want to say at the end of the service, there will be a prayer team to my left, your right. And if you're here today and you need anything praying for, maybe it's a situation, a circumstance, you need the peace of God, like that woman who came and went away with peace. Maybe today you need healing. Maybe today you just need God to touch your life in some way. Well, there'll be a team of people here who'll be willing to pray for you. I just want to encourage you, step out at the end of the service. They'll be here for 5-10 minutes willing to pray with you and for you. And they'll be able to pray with you confidentially. But let's pray right now. And let's just ask the Lord, revive us again. Stir our hearts. May in 2024 we be not just thermostats, not just the people who can say, look at what everything's like, but the people who can say, look, it's only 18 degrees. Let's turn that dial to 22. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you take control of atmospheres. And Jesus, I pray even right now, in every life here, in every situation here, you will take control. We give the atmospheres of our lives, of our work, we give the atmospheres of our hearts, of our minds to you. And we ask you to be Lord. We ask you to take control. We ask you to move. We pray, Father God, that you will give us the confidence and the courage and the know-how. You will immerse us and soak us in your word so much that we can use your word and bring the atmosphere of grace, the atmosphere of faith, the atmosphere of peace, hope, love into every situation we encounter. We ask you to move, Father God. Revive us again, we pray, in 2024. Revive us. Lift our spirits. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, we pray. We ask for you to move in power in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Just turn to the person next to you and say, if it's your husband or your wife, honey, 2024, I'm going to try and be a thermostat, not a thermometer. If it's just a friend, tell them the same. 2024, I'm a thermometer now. I've stopped being a thermostat. I'm a thermometer. Church, Happy New Year. May God bless everything you do this week.